This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Update on the chaos, violence, and injuries at a soccer victory parade today in Liverpool, England. Police say a minivan plowed into a crowd of spectators. An ambulance service says 47 people were injured, including some children.
The incident is not being treated as terrorism.
Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims.
What I can tell you is that we believe this to be an isolated incident, and we are not currently looking for anyone else in relation to it.
A 53-year-old white British man from the Liverpool area is arrested. No charges yet after police say a child was found dead inside of a hot pickup truck belonging to a relative yesterday afternoon in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So far, it appears to have been a mistake. Police have released a photo of a woman believed to have been driving a jet ski involved in a fatal hit and run that killed an 18-year-old kayaker on Grapevine Lake in North Texas. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. If you're celebrating the Memorial Day holiday and you're overindulging, plan to have a designated driver or utilize a rideshare app. But if someone you know is in a pinch, AAA is offering an option to keep impaired drivers from getting behind the wheel. The Tow2Go program means anybody in a bind who doesn't have a way home except for their car but has had too much can call AAA and they'll tow your car where you need it to go. You do not need to be a AAA member to use the service. It's available through tomorrow morning. And a proposal at the state capitol would expand early voting hours across Wisconsin. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The Republican-sponsored bill would address inequalities between voting in urban and rural areas, providing a 20-hour minimum for in-person absentee voting without needing to make an appointment. The measure would also establish a funding mechanism to help municipalities meet minimum hour requirements. Proponents say adding more opportunity for early voting will help minimize congestion and possible errors on Election Day.
And anytime you're in a car, you should be wearing a seatbelt. That's what authorities are focusing most on for the next few days. Law enforcement agencies across the country and across Wisconsin have started their annual campaign to reinforce seatbelt wearing. Melissa Kay has more.
The annual Click It or Ticket campaign begins May 19th and runs through June 1st. Buckling up is one of the easiest and most effective steps you can take to survive a crash. Wisconsin law allows officers to stop and cite motorists for not wearing a seatbelt, and drivers can be fined for every unbuckled passenger in their vehicle. The goal of the Click It or Ticket campaign is to reduce fatal crashes and coincides with the first summer travel holiday.
You can find more Wisconsin news at civicmedia.us. Hope you're having a safe holiday weekend. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
A big win at home for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers held on to a 3-2 win over the Boston Red Sox. Things got started early. Jackson Chourio in the leadoff spot, bottom of the first. And the first pitch to him on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Swing and a drive! Deep left center! And welcome to Memorial Day!
Chourio's first ever career leadoff home run and the first this season for the crew. Did that set the tone? Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it always sets a tone when you come out ready and the first hitter that you have kind of makes a statement.
And D.L. Hall making his first appearance since coming off the IL. Closer Trevor McGill on getting the win before a sold-out crowd of over 40,000.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this stadium gets rocking when there's, you know, a bunch of people in it, and definitely felt that today. Thank you for the fans for coming out today.
That's the Brewers' Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Cloudy tomorrow with a few showers, even some thunder, highs to the mid-60s. Slight shower chance Wednesday, high upper 60s. Heat returns to the area for the rest of the upcoming week. It's 71 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Peach Wabba. Hope you're having a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back live to light it up on Tuesday night. In the meantime, enjoy this best of show and have a great night.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
My guest right now is Bill Epp. He is the host of Tune In With Me on the MeTV Network. It's on every morning. Syndication, a great show. Bill, how are things going there?
It's going pretty good, Pete. I'm not going to lie to you. We're starting up season 5. We did our 800th episode, which is amazing.
Whoa.
It's 800 of anything is a lot when you stop and think about it. But we've done 800 hours where, you know, you get to be a kid again. You get to watch Saturday morning cartoons just like when you were a kid. And it's fun and exciting. I love doing it.
So is that basically that's 200 episodes a year. I assume you don't shoot 200 days. Do you break that up? And even if you have to go in for 200 days, that's like teacher days, right? You get some time off.
We don't shoot it in real time. So a lot of days we'll shoot parts of 3 or 4 or 5 different episodes.
Okay.
You know, I know that breaks the fourth wall and it's more than we should be giving out, but it's interesting the way it's done. And it's done for several reasons that way. I don't understand any of them. They've explained it to me. It'd be easier for me to just start at the beginning and end at the end, but they go, no, you can't do it that way. So we do it a different way.
They're trying to protect you from Conrad. Keep your moves kind of covert. You're on another show, Bill, too. On the MeTV network, are there any shows on MeTV you're not on? And tell us about your new show.
All right. So they added me about a year ago to Svengoolie's show. Now, I've been watching Svengoolie since I was in high school. I never in a million years thought I would be on it even once, much less almost every week. But that's what's happened. I play a character named Nostalgia Ferratu, who is an 800-year-old vampire who loves trivia. And it's been a hit with the kids.
That's
so I'm doing
so
that.
Cool.
And then there's a third show that's going to start in October that I'm sworn to secrecy about, but I will be on yet a third show on the MeTV network. And they're trying to figure out a way to get me into old episodes of Sea Hunt, but so far that has not happened.
I think 3 shows, you're doing okay. You're like the face of the network.
You know what happens is when you get older, you get a lot uglier and stuff. And I'm like, well, I shouldn't even be on one show, much less 3. But luckily, they've got very poor eyesight there at MeTV. So they let me be on 3 different shows.
You hide their bifocals from them. They keep giving you shows. Bill, how much do you make a year? Let's cut right to the chase.
I make $70 a month. So if I'm doing the math right, it's $840 a year. That's pretty good money.
You had a thing you used to do that I thought was so hilarious. You never liked when people asked you what you made. And it is a personal question. It's like mind your own business.
Yeah.
But people, whatever they asked you, whether it was a corporate gig or if you were opening at Zany's, do you remember what you'd tell them?
I can't remember.
You'd say, whatever they say. Because and I remember this. People had no problem asking you what you made because comedy was so different. How much you make doing that?
Yeah.
And you always said $5,000.
Yeah, yeah. That was my price.
I just got to go open a corporate show for 10 minutes. What do you make for something like that? $5,000.
$5,000. That's my going rate. If you want me, you got to pay me the $5,000. So sometimes I was dead on target, and other times I was off by about $4,980.
Hey, so you're a good Chicago boy. You've been there your whole life. Donahue passed away. I have to be honest, Bill. I thought he was already dead, and I don't mean to be crass.
You know what, Pete? The only thing worse than being dead is having people think that you're dead.
Not
I'd
if you want
be
anonymity.
Dead than have everyone assume I'm dead.
But did you know he was a lot like he kind of hasn't done anything since some MSNBC stuff years ago? I really thought he had passed away.
No, I knew he was alive, and I had the pleasure when I was working at one of the Chicago radio stations. He came into town. I don't remember what he was promoting. I want to say for a while he did a podcast with his wife, with Marlo Thomas from That Girl. And right. I think he was in promoting that. And I got to interview him. And I always envisioned him to be a very nice, fair, gentle human being. And he was beyond that. He was so cool. And like I was pulling out episodes one by one. And I'm going, I know you did. I just bragged about doing 800 episodes. I think he did 8,000 episodes.
How about that?
Of Donahue, of his talk show. But I was pulling out like the most obscure moments that I remembered as a kid. Like, for instance, he had Alice Cooper on at the very pinnacle of Alice Cooper's career, when he was one of the hottest guys in rock and roll. And he came on not as Alice Cooper, but as his real self, Vincent Fernier. And he was talking about how he loves to go to church and he loves to golf and stuff. It was the exact opposite of what you'd think from Alice Cooper, but Phil Donahue made it great. He was so perfect.
Yeah, he was something else. It's funny. I don't know if kids, I remember watching him in college, and I don't know that kids now would watch a daytime talk show that wasn't like Jerry Springer or Ricky Lake or, you know, he was like a journalist, you know?
Yeah.
It was great.
And a groundbreaker. You know, I know if you read anything about him today, you found out that his very first guest was a woman named Madeline Murray O'Hare, who was a very controversial figure back in the 60s and into the 70s. She was an atheist when it was not a good idea to be an atheist.
Right.
And she'd come on and really challenge everybody's thoughts about religion. And that was his very first guest. And he just ran from there. But it wasn't exploitative like the talk show hosts that followed him. It was just very, as you pointed out, it was very journalistic. He came at it from just the right angle. And boy, was he good.
He was great. I just had one of my friends, Rob Thomas, was on, who writes for the Capital Times in Madison.
Yeah.
He's an entertainment reporter. And we were talking about there was a hoaxer named Alan Abel whose daughter did a documentary about her father. And that's what he did his adult life. He just pulled hoaxes. And one of them was he tried to outlaw breastfeeding. And he got the right all riled up saying that women have feelings and it's improper when they're breastfeeding. And he got on Tom Brokaw. And
really?
Yes. The documentary is called Abel Raises Cain. And it blew my mind. And he was on Brokaw, and Brokaw's just nodding. And he's throwing this Alan Abel's throwing these facts out there that are just completely made up. And he's like, you know, Tom, the Minnesota study for normalcy says that 52% of women who breastfeed. And Brokaw's just nodding along. You can't fact check. There was no Google then.
Right.
And he got on. Anyway, he was on Donahue and he planted people in the audience when they were doing a thing about older homosexuals. And when these people would start to talk about their relationships, he had people faint in the studio audience.
Oh, no.
Donahue cleared the audience. You know, he cleared the whole studio audience out because he thought something was coming in through the vents or whatever. But just a great documentary if you ever get it. You would really like it. Just because
I would love to see that. All right, I'll watch it with you and Conrad just as a peace offering.
We'll just distract him with the documentary, and we'll sneak you out.
You know who else just passed away? I don't know if you've mentioned this. Peter Marshall, the longtime host of Hollywood Squares, died this week.
I saw that. Yeah, I did see that. That was before my. I don't remember watching. I guess when I was a little kid, he was the host, right? Were you a fan?
I used to love that show. Yeah, I loved it. And every once in a while, they would veer off course. Instead of doing the Hollywood Squares, they did a thing called Storybook Squares, where all the stars dressed like, like characters from kids' books, and they did it. It was the same rules as Hollywood Squares, but the two contestants were kids instead of adults. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. Nobody was doing stuff like that on TV at the time. So that was a lot of fun.
That's great.
Did you know Peter Marshall, is the father of a Chicago Cub? Did you know that?
I'm trying to think who the Cub would be. Marshall.
I will give you a hint. He has one of the most unfortunate names in baseball history.
And his last name is Marshall?
No, actually.
Oh.
He went by his father, Peter Marshall's real first name, not his made-up stage name.
Oh. Who was it?
Pete LeCocq.
I should have guessed that.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid watching baseball and saying, I don't think I'm supposed to be saying that name. It's just the guy's name. Like, you know.
That was his name.
That was his name.
So I still remember, like, when I was a kid and Hollywood Squares were on, the announcer would say, one of these stars is sitting in the secret square, and the contestant who picks it first could win a prize package worth $1,000. But which star is it? George Gobel, and he would just go on with all the celebrities and stuff. And as a little kid, I would say it along with the announcer of Hollywood Squares. And now Peter Marshall's dead. So what good did that do anybody?
You did your part.
I tried.
My guest is Bill Leff. He's the host of Tune In With Me every morning on MeTV. Check it out if you haven't. He's also on Svengoolie and a show to be named a TBD title, yeah. Or anonymous. What do they call that?
A show to be named later, but I can't say anything else, Pete.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm making it dangerous.
Will you come back and tell us when the show actually airs?
I would love to.
Like, yes. We can watch it when it's on, right?
Yeah, it'll be on in October. Okay. Just set your VCR for people have VCRs, right? Set that for MeTV.
I still have beta. So, Bill, what's your favorite? Have you seen any of the summer movies? What's the best movie you've seen this summer? Do you have one?
Boy, you know what? I was listening to you ask that question, and I thought to myself, I don't know that I've gone. After COVID, I've only seen a handful of movies, and none of them have been great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's very disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, I used to go to the movie theater, two or three or four times a week. And now I think I've seen three movies in the last 5 years in theaters. And that's only because they're scary and my wife refuses to go with me.
You like the scary movies?
I love scary movies.
Yeah.
Do you?
A lot of them this summer. You know, I'll be honest. I'm seeing more movies now since I've been hosting the show. And I've seen some scary ones. I'm okay with them. I don't like the really graphic. Like, I don't know. Did you watch The Boys?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's so unbelievably graphic, and it's not
good.
It is good. The writing's good, but I think they go a little too far where it kind of takes me out of it. But
yeah,
I've seen Maxine and X this summer, and I've seen A Quiet Place. I don't know if those are you're talking about those types.
I would love to see that. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we've got a lot of movies we got to watch together.
Yeah, you just say the word, and I'm there. I will tell you this on a movie-related basis. I don't know if your phone does this, but my phone does this thing where it feeds me stories, news stories. Like if I hit the news button, it tells me stories that they think, whoever's running the phone, that I'll be interested in. And right now, this has been going on for 3 weeks now, half of the stories in my news feed are about Blake Lively. And I don't like her and I don't dislike her, but I don't need to know anything else about her. But every day I'm fed 11, 12, 13 stories about Blake Lively and the relationship she didn't have with her co-star in her latest movie. Or why she named her last daughter what she named her, or why her sisters are all actresses, but we've never seen them in anything. Every single day I get all this stuff. How do I get out of that?
It sounds like you've read quite a few of the articles. I got to be honest.
No, I just read the headline.
Okay.
It tells me in the headline what it's about.
Can't you click the little button that said hear less about this or kill notifications for this kind of thing?
I'm just going to bury my phone in the yard or something.
They'll still find you.
Oh, they will?
They'll still find you, Bill.
They're relentless.
Hey, what would it take? All right. What would it take you right now for you to go on the road like you did in the early 90s and let's say be the middle act for some road headliner in a city like Rockford or Akron?
Yeah.
Would you do that?
I would do it. I would be glad to do it, but my asking price, Pete, is $5,000. So if they can meet that, I'd be more than happy to do it.
I think they're going to give you summer money right now, so you might want to wait a couple months.
I'll wait until like October or November then and get my full share.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. I would do it with you. If you went on a barnstorming tour, I think I might do it with you.
That's how I am. If someone calls or a friend of mine says, hey, I'm doing a gig, will you open or whatever, I always do it. We'll be right back with more with Tune In With Me, MeTV's Bill Leff. This is Nightlight with Peach Papa.
Yeah. Oh, we got some places to see.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Their work to drive visitation and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover our great state, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. To learn more about what these great organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC, used with permission.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
Definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Peach Wabba. Hope you're having a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back live to light it up on Tuesday night. In the meantime, enjoy this best of show and have a great night.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch.
Tune in with me on every morning on the MeTV Network. It's a great show, especially if you have kids. You watch some Bugs Bunny cartoons, and then Bill says funny things. It's just a great... Bill, whoever thought of that, I mean, it's just a brilliant idea.
Yes, it was Prince Charles whose idea it was.
And he wanted no piece of the action.
Monarch, but he wanted what?
He wanted no piece of the action. He didn't say, I want a taste. He just is a good guy who wanted people to be entertained.
He loves Chilly Willy cartoons. I had no idea. He called me up out of the blue one day and he goes, would you host a show where you show Looney Tunes, Wile E. Coyote, you know, Chilly Willy? And I'm like, you're Prince Charles. Yes, absolutely. I would. Yes. All right. Now I'm going to take your question about summer movie and I'm going to add Dolly Parton to the mix because it is Dolly Parton's birthday.
Yeah.
What is your all time favorite Dolly Parton movie, Pete?
Oh, you know, one of our listeners is a huge Dolly Parton fan. She says Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I would probably agree with that because I remember liking it, but I don't know a lot of her movies, I have to be honest. So I'd probably say that one.
Well, I know a lot of people would take 9 to 5.
Oh,
For me, it's, and I think you'll agree with me on this, her greatest movie ever was Godfather 2. I thought she was so good in Godfather 2.
Who did she play in that, Bill?
She was Hyman Roth. One of the other Dons. He was out in Florida.
Yeah.
Michael Corleone came to see Hyman Roth. That was Dolly Parton.
And nobody knew
realize
that.
It. because she's so good.
God, she's just that good. That's incredible. I didn't. Yeah. I kind of forgot about that, honestly.
Yeah,
you know what I liked her in? The Longest Yard. Did you see her play quarterback?
Oh, God, yeah. She's so good in that, too. She was so good in that. Did you ever see Das Boot with Dolly Parton?
She's like Tom Hanks. She's been in everything.
She's been in everything. And because she's such a chameleon, you just accept it. You go, all right, whatever you got, let me see.
You know what
she's
I think
so good.
What is so funny, Bill? Like, I've known you, like, what would we say, for 30 years or whatever. I don't think I've ever had a real conversation with you. Like, even in our emails, Bill, okay, everyone listening, Bill started calling me Debs. Just a cute housewife nickname, Debs. How are you doing? Yeah. Yes, I'd like to be on your show. And I, you know, I got to come up with something to match, try to match what's with Bill. So I said, you know, you should rename, you should call yourself Built. Like, if you ever start lifting weights, Built Left or Built Left, if that could work too. But so the last few email exchanges, it's like, Debs, yes, got the information, looking forward to it. Okay, thanks, Built. Like,
you know why, Pete? I've always thought if you're going to do something really stupid, why not commit go all the way? Right?
Yes.
Now, your invitation to go on the road reminded me of something, and I don't know if I've ever told you this. When I did stand-up, there were certain guys I loved to work with, you being way up on the high end of that list, because you always wanted to find somebody that was really funny, hopefully really clean, very original, you know, and you certainly fit that bill. But another guy that I used to bring with me, like when I started headlining, and I go, oh, this guy's so funny, is our friend Mike Siegel. You know,
oh,
was in a movie that I think you wrote and directed.
He did have a part in the Godfather of Green Bay. That's correct. He was also in Traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's had a very nice career. So one time, and if I've told you this, I'll just tell you the quick version. But we were working together in Kansas City. And, you know, whenever you go to a new club that you've never worked before, they always want you to come in early the first day so they can get to meet you and tell you what the club rules are. Sometimes they'll post the club rules somewhere. So at this club in Kansas City, in the green room, they had a list of the 10 rules of the club. And they all made sense but one. Like, it started out, it said, you must get here 20 minutes before showtime. If you're a comic on the show, you're entitled to 2 free drinks. If you want a third, it's half off. And it was all stuff like that. But the number 10 rule on this club in Kansas City was absolutely no Vegas walking.
Come on.
So Mike and I we read this, and the owner of the club is there with us, and I say, how firm are you on your no Vegas walking rule? And he goes, well, pretty firm. He goes, I want to say that if you do it once, we'll have a talk about it. If you do it twice, the week is over. I can't use you if you're going to Vegas walk. So Mike goes, what if the crowd wants us to Vegas walk? He goes, no, it doesn't matter what the crowd wants. This is a professional club. There will be no Vegas walking. And I say, what if you start out Vegas walking, but then you look at the audience like, I got you. I'm not going to Vegas walk. He goes, guys, I can't stress this enough. You cannot Vegas walk in this club. I don't know where else you work. We don't allow it. All right. So that was about 25 years ago. To this day, Pete, I have no idea what Vegas walking is. I don't know if I ever did it by accident. I just know that in Kansas City, you better not do it.
I thought you were going to say, like, so we decided to Vegas walk and then, like, kind of sashayed into a foxtrot or something, you know. That's funny. Oh, my gosh. What is that?
And like, I don't know what it means. I have no idea. And I know I could probably Google it, but I'd rather spend the rest of my life not knowing.
Maybe it's like James Caan when he kind of puts his shoulders back and puts his chest out, maybe.
That could be it, but why would he be so adamant that nobody do it? What is he losing in that?
Yeah, because it's kind of cool.
I just thought maybe, this is in the back of my imagination, maybe it means getting up and just really taking your time getting to the stage, maybe playing a hand or two of blackjack on the way, you know, seeing a show.
Wearing sunglasses.
Seeing Liza.
Yeah, right.
Sunglasses.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bill, that's funny. Thank you. I thought you were going to say Mike Siegel tried to kill you. But I'm glad you didn't
say
that.
Well, Mike Siegel would not.
Friends.
He would be a protector.
True.
If Conrad ever does what he says he's going to do.
And you don't want to mess with Mike.
I don't want to mess with Mike Siegel.
He'll Vegas walk your ass right into the. That is
he's done it before.
Have you ever Googled that? You should Google that. Maybe it's like a thing.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. I'll Google it.
It's so much better not to know, isn't it?
I agree. Bill, thanks so much. This is so fun.
Thanks, Pete. Happy
Debs.
Dolly Parton's birthday to you and Debs. You, Conrad. I hope you love me one day.
I'll keep him away from you. I'll set a screen and roll.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Have a great night.
Bye, guys.
Check out MeTV and tune in with me every morning. Bill's so funny. He's the host. Progress we have found a way to
talk around the problem. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Governor Tony Evers is pushing for more support from the state legislature after a statewide tour highlighting his administration's accomplishments in workforce development. Republican lawmakers removed more than 600 measures from the governor's proposed budget, including investments in apprenticeship programs, the Worker Connection Pilot Program, and the Workforce Innovation Grant Program. During the tour, Evers also highlighted a lawsuit against the Trump administration's cuts to AmeriCorps. And a relief for many patients, UW Health has announced a new multi-year contract with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. Officials say it will guarantee healthcare access for Anthem members at various UW Health facilities across the state. The two companies had been negotiating for months and just kept doing extensions of the same deal. According to a press release, the newly agreed-upon contract will cover employer-based Medicare Advantage, Medicaid, and Affordable Care Act marketplace plans. And every spring, officials across the state have to remove abandoned boats from Wisconsin shorelines. It can be a really time-consuming process, and every year in Milwaukee, it's almost turned into a spectator event people show up to watch. And now, state lawmakers are proposing a bill that would add hefty fines for folks who leave their boats out. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The proposal comes days after a cabin cruiser named Deep Thought was pulled from the Milwaukee shoreline and a yacht named Sweet Destiny was towed from the St. Croix River. The proposed legislation would give owners 30 days to collect their boat after law enforcement authorities deem it abandoned. If the boat isn't removed, the owners could face a $10,000 fine and up to 9 months in jail.
You can find more Wisconsin stories and all our shows anytime on the Civic Media app or on our website, civicmedia.us. On your Memorial Day, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Cloudy tomorrow with a few showers, even some thunder, highs to the mid-60s. Slight shower chance Wednesday, high upper 60s. Heat returns to the area for the rest of the upcoming week. It's 71 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Peach Wabba. Hope you're having a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back live to light it up on Tuesday night. In the meantime, enjoy this best of show and have a great night. Welcome back. Great to have you with me tonight, folks, on this Monday night. Finally, a warm and sunny night here in the state of Wisconsin. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, and I just wanted to shout out some good words to some of my colleagues here at Civic Media. The Wisconsin Broadcast Association Awards were this past weekend. Congrats to Brittany Merlot, the Snow Queen, bringing home 3 awards. That's incredible. Maggie Dawn won Best Radio Show. Todd Alba, Best Feature, I think, or Best Special. Mino and the Mayor, they were like, what, second or third radio show?
Second, yeah.
That's really cool here in Northeast Wisconsin. Jane and Greg won a Best Feature Award. Amanda Nimmer, Best Social Media, right here at WGBW, WISS, part of the team. And Todd Alba and yourself for producing. You've been involved with Mino and the Mayor.
Yeah.
Not in a weird way. I mean, producing your show.
Yeah.
And they owe you a debt of gratitude.
Yes.
So congratulations to all the awards taken home by Civic Media the other day. Very cool stuff. All right. So keep those texts coming, folks. The question of the night is, what is your favorite teen movie? This was inspired by my friend Mike Siegel, who is about to join us. He sent me a picture of Damone a couple weeks ago, and all I have to do is look at that guy, and I hear his voice, and I hear his lines from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and I think about him selling concert tickets on the down low, and I thought, we need to talk about teen movies. So it is my pleasure to welcome now to Nightlight a guy who's no stranger to our airwaves. He is the host of the Travel Tales podcast, a very funny comedian and TV host as well, my pal Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I was fascinated by that story of the mice drinking the wine. That's good stuff there, buddy.
That's money well spent. We needed to know that, Mike. We needed to know that. Those are fun to write.
I bet.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm in town for a little while, so that's kind of nice. So I'm usually, flying this way or that way or performing on a cruise ship or doing something. So it's nice to kind of like chill for a little bit, although it's kind of I don't know if you remember from your days in L.A., this is the May gray time of year.
Yeah.
When it's, kind of it's cloudy. It doesn't rain, but it's just gray and cool.
Well, your gray period is a lot shorter there than here. So I really no sympathy for you, Mike. Where were you? Were you on a cruise or just traveling and enlightening yourself as you often do?
Well, a little bit of both. I combined one. I did a ship in February. And it dropped me off in Rio de Janeiro, and I looked on the I looked at the dates, and it was the first week of March actually, and I went, wait a minute, I know that's really close to Mardi Gras time, and it was like 2 days before Fat Tuesday, so it's like, wait a minute, I'm just gonna stay here for a few days and see this, and that was pretty amazing. I'd been to Rio before, but never during Carnival, and it was pretty nuts.
It just seems like an absolute spectacle, but like something you'd want to be alone at. You don't want to take your family, the wife and kids, or even the girlfriend. It seems like you just want to walk around yourself and absorb everything.
I did do that. But on the other side, it would have been a lot more fun in my 20s, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's one of those things where I was an observer, and I think back then I would have been more of a participant.
Yeah,
but I was pretty good to stand back and watch the spectacle rather than be the spectacle these days.
rather than be the guy running around in a jockstrap and clogs and just
exactly
waving your arms around because you're so happy it's Fat Tuesday.
Well, I talk about it, and every time I go to a town, especially a city where, you know, it can be kind of rough, I never want to stand out as a tourist, so I always try to, like, you know, try to fit in. And I knew, like, 2 minutes into, like, walking on the street in Rio that I was not going to fit in, mostly because what I was, the way I was dressed, because I was wearing clothes, and they're not... they're not that big into that.
You have the khakis on and the cardigan. Hey, who's the stiff?
You know, I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. They asked me if I was going to a wedding.
That is fantastic. What do you ever, like, get sound bites when you're at these places, Mike, for your podcast? Or do you play stuff, or do you interview people where you are as opposed to just people who can talk about travel?
I do sometimes, like, especially on the ships, you know, I've interviewed a bunch of, like, my fellow performers or some of the cruise directors and things like that. But yeah. Something on the street like that is just so insane. And the audio is terrible. And, you know, some of these places, you don't want to be walking around with anything expensive looking sound equipment or good microphone or something. Well, I mean, pickpockets and street crime, and that can be.
It's that bad, huh?
It depends on where you are, of course. Yeah. You know, I mean, I took the train there and the metro in Rio, and it was fine. But then again, during Carnival, there was a heavy police presence and, you know, so many tourists that they're on the lookout for stuff like that. But I did ask one of these guides of where I was going to the Samba parade. I was going to take the train in the middle of the night, and he's like, the stop you got to get off of there, we wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, really?
And I was like, okay. So
wow.
I erred on the side of caution. I probably would have been fine, but, you know, hey, I'll spend the extra dough there.
Yeah. Have you ever been pickpocketed either when traveling somewhere or even, like, in Chicago or LA, or ever been pickpocketed?
You know, knock on wood, I'm uber careful now, but I have, I've been in some places where, I mean, certain cities, you know, I've known so many people and interviewed so many people that have gotten, you know, stuff stolen, like in Barcelona, it's very common. Usually on mass transit, you got to really be careful. And the beaches too, like people lying out on the beach and, like, they go into the water and there's somebody, or even, like, lying in the sun with their eyes closed. Somebody just walked by, snatched something.
The wallet and the shoe. They'll never figure that out.
But whereas opposed to, you know, America, they're afraid of coming here because the crime is less street crime, but more violent crime.
Okay, right.
So, you know, guns and things, that's whatever the world is scared of. That's what I'm scared of here.
Sure. I don't think I've never been pickpocketed. If I were to be pickpocketed, I'd hope they'd be bad at it and just keep their hand in my pocket.
Oh, he's wearing boxing gloves.
Giggity, it's like, giggity, sir, giggity. Boxing gloves.
It's like, you're doing this all wrong, sir. You gotta take off the gloves.
My guest is Mike Siegel. He's the host of the Travel Tales podcast and a TV personality and a very funny stand-up comedian. Mike, let's talk about, like I mentioned when I brought you on the show, this whole subject talk tonight was inspired by the picture you sent me of Damone.
Oh, right.
It's one of the greatest, you know, not even a lead character, like a secondary character, but made such an impression in that movie and was so great.
Oh, yeah. And it was one of those things where it's like that came out. I think I was a freshman, between my freshman and sophomore year in high school. So it was like, hit me right in the wheelhouse. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like, I was like, is this what high school's going to be?
Yeah.
You know, I just thought it was.
I think too, like, what's so funny is, like, I never used drugs, but I always laugh the hardest at the drug kids. Like,
oh, Spicoli, yeah.
Yeah, those kind. Like, I remember a kid coming in late. We had to go to daily mass because it was a Catholic school. We'd go to daily mass, and this guy walks in, this kid, this eighth grader walks in like 20 minutes late, and the priest looks at him and he goes, where were you, Dave? And he stands there. I swear to God, he stands there for like 10 seconds. He just goes, I was late. And I'm just like.
That's perfect.
It's perfect, and it's just. It cracks me up. So there's a whole cast of those characters in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, including Spicoli is also the highlight of that. But whatever happened to Damone? I know I would see him at the grocery store sometimes. I can't even think of the actor's name at the moment. I can look it up. But
Richard Ramanis. He, yes. actually owned for a while in your neck of the woods over there. I think maybe it was on Cahuenga. He owned a coffee house for a little while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like in a little espresso, something like Bob's Espresso, or yeah, something like
no
that.
Kidding.
Or Robert Romanus, I think is his name.
Robert Romanus, yeah.
And he would pop up. I remember seeing him in a Sopranos episode as well.
Oh, no kidding.
So every so often he'd pop up in some kind of episodic TV thing. And I was like, he'll always be Damone. It was like, is that Damone playing a lawyer? Right. What's he doing?
Right. He'd top off your coffee and try to sell you Lynyrd Skynyrd tickets or something.
Oh, my God. How many people must have? Oh, God. He has to answer to that every day, right?
Every Still, day. Probably. And you're right. He like. The sad thing is, like, if you're the Fonz or some huge role where you cashed in on and you became a very rich person, he's a minor role on this movie, and he didn't cash in on that. Like, how maybe he can go to festivals or, like, conventions. But, yeah, he's got to make a living, you know?
Ratner, same thing. I think he finally left acting.
Oh, did he?
You know,
really?
After, you know, Mark the Rat Ratner, he was, like, by the 90s, he was, you know, he was out of it.
I just figured he would have gone full time at the movie theater, but maybe that...
you get to wear a nice tux. It's all right.
He was great too in the movie, though. Like those guys, they were all fantastic. All right, so let's talk about this. So, what is your favorite scene from the movie, Mike? And I know we're going to give each other a little quiz. I do have a couple questions prepared for you that are like little mini trivia questions. But let's talk about the movie first. Like, do you have a favorite scene in the film?
Well, one of them is definitely. I mean. I don't know what I can say on the radio or not.
Use your best judgment. No, okay. No effort S bombs, please.
Well, when Spicoli's in the he comes in late.
Yeah.
And again, like Dave-esque, you know, is like I think Mr. Hand comes down on him, you know, and tears up his thing and tells him to go down to the down to the principal's office. Right. I don't know. Can I say it?
I don't think we could say the D word. Can you count? No, we okay. can't. You could substitute it with the P word for that body part, I think.
Well, but he just stared at him and just let him have it.
Right.
Just right in his grill.
You and it just blank. Like... Yeah.
And it was the dream of every kid in high school to be able to do that to their worst teacher.
And he didn't care. I mean, it was just like. And when he says, like, there's a full crowd scene down by the vending machine, like, that's just your world when you're that. He's like, I can't go to class. Look at this action down here.
By the way, when the guy in your class came in stoned and you said his name was Dave, I thought he was going to go into the whole Cheech and Chong bit. Dave's not here, man.
No.
Which would have been his only better answer that he gave.
Yeah, I would have had some respect for him if he had done it. Do you have a favorite character from Fast Times?
I got to go with you. I got to go with Damone. Like, he steals it, man. He really does. Oh, Sean Penn, of course, but...
Yeah, Sean Penn's kind of like, you just accept he's the best character. But separate of that, and I love Judge Reinhold in it, but I would probably have to say Damone too, just because of he makes the most of his on-camera time, and he's so great. But I would have to say Spicoli. I would still, like, as great as an actor as Sean Penn is, that's one of his best, he's phenomenal.
He still has, right? He hasn't topped it. Oscar or no Oscar, he still hasn't topped it.
Exactly. Although I did like him. I loved Sean Penn in Bad Boys. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes. He's great in everything.
He's awesome in it.
He's great in everything.
But no
Ratner career for him.
he ran. But that's a role you would think it would be hard to overcome, too. Spicoli is very iconic. And, like, he didn't even, like, think twice. He was already in all these other movies and At Close Range and Bad Boys and all these. So that's pretty impressive that he was able to shake it.
Well, he had been on Broadway. It was either before that. I don't know if you saw the Val Kilmer documentary, but he did a play with Val Kilmer and I think Kevin Bacon and on Broadway. So, I mean, he'd been around.
Yeah.
You know, he was established as an actor and he made it clear, you know, he wanted to do dramas after that and he didn't want to be pegged.
Great stuff. That, all right. We'll dig a little deeper into Fast Times when we come back. I'm going to give Mike a quick trivia quiz on the film, and he can certainly do that to me if you have something prepared, Mike. Otherwise, no worries.
Oh, I do.
Fantastic.
I don't know if I'll stump you, Pete, but I'm going to try.
Accept it. All right. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. When did I fall?
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Today we're looking at a principle called the Gingles test that federal courts use when determining whether a gerrymandered redistricting map is a violation of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. How that test is interpreted can determine whether minority voters can elect the candidate of their choice or their vote is diluted by an anti-voter state legislature. A group of black voters sued the North Carolina legislature in 1982, arguing their voting districts violated the Voting Rights Act by diluting their vote and keeping black North Carolinians from electing the candidate of their choice. Before it came to trial, Congress clarified the VRA to say intentional discrimination didn't need to be proved, just the effect of discrimination was enough to be a violation of Section 2. Thornburg v. Gingles created a three-part test for federal courts to use when considering whether a VRA violation had occurred. It stipulates the minority group is sufficiently large and geographically compact to constitute a majority in a single-member district. The minority group is politically cohesive, usually voting the same way, and the white majority votes sufficiently as a block, usually defeating the minority's preferred candidate. As shown in the recent overturning of Louisiana's new congressional map, the interpretation of geographically compact and politically cohesive still leaves wiggle room for discrimination. We have more on Gingles and the VRA at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Peach Wabba. Hope you're having a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back live to light it up on Tuesday night. In the meantime, enjoy this best of show and have a great night. Welcome back to Nightlight. I am your loyal host, Peach Wabba. Conrad is riding shotgun. And there's a great text we got. The question of the night is, what is your favorite teen movie from the 920? Rain says 3 O'Clock High was fun. I forgot about that movie, but that was a great movie.
That one was pretty good, yeah. I mean, that one didn't get a lot of publicity, though. We were like, so you and I are around the same age, so we all got like the same. We were in the John Hughes land, you know, so he kind of dominated that whole scene, but there was a lot of product there.
Yeah.
But it's always interesting to see how each generation has their own high school movie. Like People After Us, there was like Clueless, and then American Pie was like a huge one in the 90s for people.
Super Bad was another great one.
Yeah. And I don't know what I mean, you have kids. I don't know. Do they have one that they really...
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that the truly great ones do stand the test of time. Just during the break, Conrad was saying he watched Fast Times about 4 months ago, loved it. My son Joe, basically the same age, loved Superbad, which was came out when he was a baby, basically. But he also loves Fast Times. Like, I think you can – a great movie is a great movie, you know, regardless of its aesthetics, I guess. But, yeah, I agree with you about 3 O'Clock High. Paula, Conrad's mom checks in and says – all of the Back to the Future movies. Yeah, great films. great films. Monica from Mount Horeb from the 608. She says, one more hysterical movie that hasn't been mentioned, Good Burger. I never saw Good Burger. Is that
yeah,
Kenan
it wasn't
Thompson?
For me. Yeah, Kenan and Kel.
He's so
funny. So they were like, if you grew up Nickelodeon or whatever they were on, they were stars, big.
That one slipped through the cracks. Mike and I, Mike Siegel, that is the voice of Mike Siegel, the host of the Travel Tales podcast. Check out his podcast. It's fantastic. And he's also a very funny comedian and TV host as well. And we are both, we go back a long way, but we're both huge fans of the film Dazed and Confused. And Mike, I was looking at all the cameos, like one of them is going to be a question I ask you, but even actors like this, I think it's David Chivarelli was the teacher that pulled the heart out or whatever.
You said Dazed and Confused.
I'm sorry.
So that's why.
I'm sorry. Fast Times. Vincent Schiavelli.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's
that's
the one
of my questions for you.
Oh, okay.
Are we going to ask the questions? You want me to quiz you?
Let's start. But I do want to say that one of my favorite Spicoli lines is when he's getting on the bus and he knows they're going to look at cadavers. And Schiavelli says, are you in this class? And he goes, I am today. So great. Let's do our quizzes. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go.
Right.
I'll ask you one. And this has relate to Vincent Schiavelli, that character actor. Always a weird looking dude, and he pops up in a million films.
He's great.
But he was a science teacher in Fast Times. Do you remember his character's name?
Oh, man. No, I don't. Well,
can't
I
remember. Can't pull it.
I'm looking at it right now because I have IMDb Pro open.
That
would be cheating, but I wouldn't have guessed it.
Mr. Vargas.
Mr.
Vargas.
Yes. Damn, that's a good one. See, I wanted you to challenge me. I wanted
take the IMDb away.
Okay.
Don't look.
I'm going off.
Do you know at the end of sorry, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, there, I got you now. Okay. Do I know the end of is all I heard?
No. Do you know at the end during the dance who played the actress who played his wife?
Good God, you are doing a deep. No, I don't.
But there's a reason I'm asking this.
All right. Should I?
Well, it got note later on, like 20 years later, because her name was Lana Clarkson, and that was the woman who died in Phil Spector's house, who he supposedly killed.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
I never would have got that.
And I wouldn't have either until, when she unfortunately, was the victim of this. That they kept pulling that scene, in her basically obituary.
She because
she was a, she played the hot blonde in all these B movies.
Yeah,
in the 80s, and that was like one of the bigger films she was in.
That's
so,
awful.
Yeah, that's a little obscure tidbit. I didn't know if you'd get that one.
I would not. And Joseph on the stream just said, and the science teacher showed up with his supermodel wife at the dance. thinking along the
and
same.
That's who
lines.
That was.
All right, I'm 0-2. Let's just keep going with your questions. Well, maybe we'll get to mine after the news because I got to redeem myself here.
Okay. The song playing in the dugout when Jennifer Jason leaves.
Somebody's Baby, Jackson
Story.
Brown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great
That's timely because I literally just saw him play that at a festival yesterday.
Oh, get out of here. You know what's so funny, Mike? I don't know if you remember this. We used to do comic softball in Encino for a while back in the early 2000s. And
yes,
those fields, that was those fields. I remember looking at the dugouts going, which dugout was it? Like, that's one of the fun things about living in LA. Was that the scene where Jennifer Jason Leigh lost her virginity to the Jackson Brown song,
So absolutely.
Great. All right.
So that you got that one. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I had a couple more.
One for three. Okay.
Do you remember, this is an easier one. Do you remember the name of the burger place that Judge Reinhold was fired from?
I think I have that same question for you. Yes, I do. All American Burger.
All American Burger.
Great.
Whose rules are?
No shirt, no shoes, no dice.
No dice.
All right. I'm 2-4. I'm coming back. How are we doing on time, Conrad? We got about a minute. Okay.
Do I have another one? Let's see. Okay. I have one last one. Ready?
Yep, you bet.
Okay. What band does Jefferson ask Damone tickets for?
Oh.
He wants to take his little brother.
Cheap Trick.
No. What? Jefferson, the football player, wants these.
Oh, Jefferson Airplane? Jefferson no. Starship? You said Jefferson. Oh, Jefferson.
Jefferson is the football player.
I need help.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Two Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets for Jefferson and little brother. He writes it down.
Those are the tickets I'd want. All right, Mike Siegel is here, folks. We're coming right back after intermission here where Civic Media's news team will keep you informed. And I'm going to give Mike my Fast Times quiz. Chime in your favorite line, favorite scene. Share it with us. Be part of the show. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The champion of dance. His moves will put you in a trance.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. For some, the Memorial Day weekend was a washout. For others, it was a watch for dangerous storms and tornadoes. ABC's Danny Beckstrom.
Tornado watches in effect in central Texas. Severe thunderstorm watches from New Mexico and West Texas to Mississippi and Alabama, while flooding remains a big concern in the entire region. These strong storms track east into the overnight hours, impacting Austin and Dallas by 9 p.m. local time, with damaging wind, very large hail, and a few tornadoes possible throughout the lower Mississippi Valley into early Tuesday.
Campgrounds and a horse ranch were evacuated today as wildfires swept through a Civil War-era historical site in southern New Mexico. Authorities say ground crews, air tankers, and helicopters helped contain the blaze that damaged several buildings at the Fort Stanton historical site. The wildfire scorched more than a half square mile at the site and surrounding conservation lands managed by the Federal Bureau of Land Management. This is ABC News.